best freaking Dave Fleming. On the River Islands Guest Line, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop Flip? Good morning to you. Giants, man, play some good ball out there in Baltimore, but that's a John Miller's old stomping ground. So has he shown you around town, the Charm City? Has he got you a good crab cake, some good lobster crab out there in Baltimore?
McCormick's. Flip, good morning.
He has done absolutely none of that. After all those nice things I said about him to Baggerly, that zero, no hospitality, no tour guide. No, in fairness to John, I have been myself pretty occupied here. So I meant it when I said it to Baggerly. It is amazing to come here. I mean, because John's been in San Francisco twice as long as he was here in Baltimore. But they have never gotten over the fact that the Orioles let him go. I mean, letting him go is sort of like a euphemism. Like, basically, they fired him. Like, you know, you listen to John, it's hard to imagine listening to John and saying, nope, that's not good enough for us. We can do better. And that's what the Orioles did. And so it never ceases to amaze me to come here and hear the reaction of people who are still furious and have never gotten over that.
Wow, that's crazy. I mean, I didn't know that he was just fired like that. That's insane. Well, you know, I'm looking at the Giants, and it feels too little, too late. I mean, this is a great Baltimore team. I know they're slumping right now, but to see them do what they've done, it brings me to Blake Snell. Any other year, it feels like we would be just talking about this guy till we're blue in the face. This is as good as any Jason Schmidt run, any Lincecum run, the Logan Webb run a few years ago, Rodon season a couple years ago. What he's doing is spectacular, but it's like, is he going to come back? Do they even have a chance to bring him back? I know they signed Matt Chapman, who was a Boris guy. This feels a little different. Boy, you know, I know the risk with trying to sign starting pitching at guys his age, but I'd love for them to find a way to bring this guy back on a 5-year deal. I don't know what it's going to take, but how likely is it that they can get him to come back to the Giants?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's definitely different than Chapman because, you know, this is not to say Blake. I think Blake is very happy here. And as weird as the start was, I think Snell has found a real comfort zone with the Giants. Like, he loves the West Coast. He loves California. Great place to pitch. But it's not Chapman. Like, Chapman really, truly, like, deeply wanted to be in Northern California. Like, they didn't want anything else. And so it was easy to get it done. It took a lot of cash, but it was easy to get it done because there was just such strong feelings on both sides of it. So, you know, like, okay, that's true. It's not going to be like Chapman. But they absolutely have a chance to bring him back. Like, it's going to come down to money, like it always does with just about every free agent. And I tell you what, you watch him pitch the other night, and I know, look, there are things you can nitpick with Blake. And he pushes back on a lot of the inning stuff. But look, the track record of his career is he's, you know, there are going to be lots of times during the year where he's not going to give you the innings that maybe you want from a starter. But the innings that he does give you are the best. And I talked to Brandon Hyde for a long time yesterday, a manager of the Orioles, and he said to me, he looked me right in the eye and he said, that was the best guy we've seen all year. That was the best stuff we have seen all season. Number one, Blake Snell against the Orioles. And to me, if you have championship aspirations, what's your avenue to winning a World Series? It's to have a guy like that on the mound in the playoffs. And so the regular season is one thing, and he helped you win games. The Giants have been a way above 500 team in the games that he's pitched this year, so he's made them better in the regular season. But you sign Blake Snell to have him in the playoffs, and when you get him in the playoffs and the other team is looking at that stuff, it's not a fun feeling.
And that's 4 years in a row, Flynn, where he's just dealt in the second half of the season. The track record's unbelievable when it comes to July, August, and September. And he replicates it once again. I was watching him the other day thinking, boy, a contender right now, like the Yankees, even the Baltimore Orioles are probably kicking themselves saying, we should have sold the far for this guy to try to make a push for a World Series.
I said it on the, I don't want to cut you off, but I said it on the telecast the other night. It's like, because I asked the Giants, and look, I don't want to give away any secrets or anything, and I won't name specifics, but because we didn't want to trade, the Giants didn't want to trade Blake Snell. But the Giants were also in a position where if they got an offer of like a really talented young player, they were going to have to at least consider it. Like a, you know, a position player you thought, hey, this guy can be a part of our core for the next many years. You had to consider it. And I was told not one decent, even close offer. Not one, not the parameters of one, not the beginning of a discussion of one, not one true good prospect was ever even brought up by any teams around the trade deadline. And to me, if I'm an Orioles fan or a Yankees fan or a Dodgers fan or a Brewers fan or a Phillies fan, one of the teams that knew they were going to be in, and so you're positioning for the playoffs at that point, I'd be pissed. Wow. Like, how could we be so short-sighted in terms of, like, and it's probably the opposite of being short-sighted. Like, let's have some short-sightedness. Let's go for it this year. And if you had Blake Snell on your team, you'd be in a position to win it all. And I just can't believe that. That blows my mind that nobody was willing to at least tempt the Giants and make them think about it.
Wow, that's fascinating, Fum. That blows me away, too, because I'm watching them deal saying, boy, Baltimore needs a pitcher. Yankees need a pitcher. All these teams, like you just mentioned, Dave, they need a guy like Blake Snell. Hopefully Blake Snell's a Giant for a long, long time because I love the way he pitches. Now, Mike Yastrzemski. There's a lot of talk, and Jasek and I joke about Yaz all the time, but he got a lot of heat early in the season I thought was unwarranted. The numbers are not eye-popping. We're not saying he's an all-star, but the guy just plays hard. And you see what he's doing the last two nights with the leadoff bombs or whatnot. He's having a nice, solid season, and he's very interesting. I don't know why I'm so intrigued with Mike Yastrzemski, but like as a fourth outfielder and a contender, he could help a lot of teams. I don't know what his value is on the Giants, but Mike Yastrzemski, man, for a lot of heat he got earlier this season, he's not having a bad year at all, Dave.
Yeah, he's having a good year. He's having a Mike Yastrzemski kind of year, and he deserves credit for being a pro. That's what he is. He takes his job seriously, and I think there's a great chance that he's back. I mean, how could you not, if it's a one-year commitment, how could you not look at him and say, yeah, we're a better team with him around? And you could quibble about what's the role. Like, and, you know, it's good to have choices. It's good to have more talented players than you have space for. So I don't really see the argument at this point with the way he's finishing the year of not bringing him back. I think that's going to happen. And you know what? You never know. Like, you bring him back, and then in the offseason, if, like you say, all of a sudden you got more of a surplus than you thought. You signed somebody else. Jung-Hoo Lee looks great coming back from his injury. And maybe, maybe you can trade him at that point. He definitely has value because he's a good player and a lot of teams could use him. If I'm the Orioles, I'm like, hey, you know what? He seems to swing the bat really well here in this park. Yeah. Let's call the Giants and see what it would take.
Dave, you know, we're talking about like roster construction a lot here, and there's no way to like kind of tiptoe around it. I know you can't divulge everything and anything, but there's been a lot written about just the front office, you know, Buster's involvement in the Chapman deal, you know, some one side saying, you know, he had to grab the steering wheel, essentially. Another side saying, Farhan was in the hospital, and I don't want to ask about what's going on with him medically or anything like that. This has been a bizarre couple of weeks here, like a bizarre couple of weeks. Are we going to get to hear from anybody in that front office at any point over the next couple of weeks? Do you think that they're going to have, you know, just some sort of, you know, a dais where everybody's out front and talking to the fans? Because they just feel very directionless right now. And there's just a lot of stuff being written. And I'm not seeing a lot of people standing at a podium taking accountability. So it's just, I feel like we're in a really weird spot right now.
I hope so. I think that would help, is to be a little more out there, a little more visible. Now, part of it is, you know, Farhan was not, you know, it came out that he had to go to the hospital. He's fine. I talked to him the other day in person. He looks fine. He's feeling a lot better. It was mostly like he got dehydrated, and so they needed to just have him rest and sort of recuperate for a couple of days. But he's fine. It's never a bad thing to be a little more visible and vocal and articulate your side of the story as opposed to letting everybody else tell the story. I mean, I guess I would just say this. Two things can be true. Buster's on the executive committee of the Giants. Like, of course he's involved. That's the whole point. That's why it's great to have Buster back in the fold. Like, He's a big part of this franchise. So, of course, he's involved. And then the flip side can also be true of there's still a guy who is in charge, and that's Farhan. And so, like, I don't know that there's as much of a conflict as everybody is making it out to be. Like, every negotiation is different and has different sort of pressure points. But to your big picture thing, I mean, I would say I would be strongly in favor of just a little more openness from Farhan and from everybody involved of just like, let's, we got nothing to hide. Let's come out and talk about this a little bit. Could be that it's the end of the year and everybody's just trying to get to the finish line and figure we'll address all that stuff once the year's over.
Yeah, because, you know, Dave, as a sports fan, you see, like, Jerry West comes to the Warriors, and there's a credibility that they desperately needed, you know? John Lynch, he's a credible person, even though he had never done the job before. Having Buster involved in whatever capacity, it just gives them credibility that I think they really need with the fan base right now, and it's encouraging to hear that he's a part of it. Doesn't mean he's going to be super successful. There's tons of examples of great athletes who weren't great front office or executives or whatever, but I just think he's a credible face that Giants fans want to see.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Buster's going to be successful. He is. He's going to be good at this stuff. And I think there is a dynamic of Buster's real conscious does not want to be the guy who's sort of hovering around and make it look like he's, you know, evaluating everybody. And so I think Buster's stayed mostly distant. He's watching every game. He's paying close attention. He knows everything that's going on. But I think there could come a time where all of us would love to see Buster around a little more in that sort of Jerry West style, like, be available to talk about the team and not feel like he's undermining anybody, or not at least have the outside perception be that way. I think that would be a healthy thing for everybody. I hope we get to that point at some point. But look, this is not, Farhan is a friend of mine, and I've told him this to his face. This is not a criticism, but I think it would be great to hear from him a little more, to have him be around and talking about stuff a little more often. I think everybody would appreciate that. That would only be a good thing.
Flynn, you've been around for a while. We've watched Giants baseball for a long time, Shasky and I, and Che, he used the word bizarre. To me, it's one of the more bizarre endings to a season when you consider all the articles coming out with Slusser and Bagley. You had Luciano and Fitz. You've got team meetings. You got the team getting shut out of three straight games. Is this one of the more bizarre endings to a season you've been a part of with the San Francisco Giants?
Well, we've had some, I mean, we have specialized in chaos at times over the years.
Doubt.
Like, that's kind of, you know, like it hasn't been drama free over my 23, 22 years, for lots of different reasons, but yeah. And I think one goal for everybody, all of us, like everybody who cares about the Giants, is to calm a little bit of that down. Like, let's, you know, and part of why I say, like, maybe being a little more visible and open would help is, I do think that almost always helps calm things down. And it's not good to have, even if it's just a perception, even if it's not reality and it's just a perception, it's just not good to have people around the game thinking that that's what's going on there, that, man, they're falling apart, or what's happening over there. Like, you don't want that. So we know that's not, the Giants are a top tier organization, franchise, in the way that they take care of people, the way that they take care of their players, the way that they value their history, the ballpark, the way that they always conduct themselves, like they have the fans in mind. Like, there's no doubt about that. So I do think it should be a goal for everybody to eliminate some of that stuff that you're talking about.
Dave, I know you watched the Niner game this weekend, and this guy, Sam Darnold looked incredible. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it's just absolutely, you used to be Mr. Pac-12, so seeing him do what he did, I couldn't believe he beat the Niners.
Slim, he's got talent for once.
My head was ready to explode. The third down throws were killing us.
He's got talent for once, right, Flynn? He's not with the Jets. He's got people to throw to.
He does. I mean, it's a great reminder. This should be a great lesson and reminder. Like, context matters so much in that sport. Like, so much. And there's a reason why Kyle wanted him here. You know, there was a reason why Kyle thought he was a great fit with the Niners. And look, Kyle helped him get back on track. I think that's undoubtedly true. But the guy's talented. And it was a little painful to watch. He's good. Like, my whole outlook on their team has changed. Like, I think they're a pretty darn good team. I don't think we're going to look back at that loss and think that was like some horrible loss. I think Sam Darnold's pretty good.
And they got the Houston Texans at home this Sunday. Fascinating game. 2-0 teams there. Cal undefeated. You recall it, the San Diego State game. And they're going out of Tallahassee to play my lowly Florida State Seminoles, who are 0-3. Your thoughts on that? And where will you be calling college football this weekend, Flynn?
If Cal wins that game, and I think they should. Now, it's never easy. You go on the road. I know things are like, it's speaking of chaos, Florida State football right now. Ooh. It's not easy. But they should win that game. They're better than Florida State. And if they can find a way to win that game and come home, Cal will have the biggest college football game in a bunch of years in the Bay Area. Like, hosting Miami will be a very big game. And that's cool. Like, that's what was so fun for me as a Stanford guy when Luck showed up. And all of a sudden, you know, the whole world of college football is paying attention to us. Like, that's really fun. And we haven't had that all that much in our Bay Area history. And that's what we're going to get if Cal wins this weekend. So I sure hope they do. I'm pulling for them just because I think that October 10th or whatever day it is game would be awesome. I'll be in Provo, Utah. I've got Kansas State, BYU. Kansas State is two undefeated teams. And let me tell you this. This is probably too much. I'm probably going over the top here. But I believe that the Kansas State quarterback is going to be the next big thing in college football. This guy is so talented. He reminds me of Lamar Jackson. And I saw Lamar when he first showed up at Louisville, and he was raw, and he had some polishing up to do and some learning. But, man, this kid for Kansas State, his name is Avery Johnson, and he drives a purple K-State colored Corvette around campus.
No way.
He's got the long hair coming out the back of the helmet. He's got YouTube dunk highlight videos of his high school basketball days, and the kid can absolutely fly. Like, some guys can run, this guy can run, and I can't wait to watch him play in person.
Now you'll be watching K-State, huh, Shasky?
From the wedding.
Yeah, they were mocking me about K-State in Manhattan after they stole one in Tulane a couple weeks ago. K-State's always had a good solid program, Flim. We know about our Wildcats, man. They play tough in Manhattan. That's a big game. Come on, Flim.
Thank you, Dave. Now, huh? Thank you, Dave.
Shasky, man. You got to pay attention to K-State, man. They've had a respectable program. Have a good call today.
Good. I mean,
go ahead, Flim.
They have great running backs. They're a good team. They could be in the playoff at the end of the year.
Hey, let's go. Remember old Michael Bishop back in the Big 12 days? They lost to Texas during that game. Anyway, Flim, have a good call, man.
No,
we'll talk to you next week. No, you don't remember.
All right.
See you, buddy.
Talk to you guys soon.
Hey, Texas, for the Big 12 championship game, K-State was undefeated. They're about to go. Uh-huh. And it was a big-time upset. Michael Bishop was
sick.
You just
had to be there.
No, I wouldn't. I was watching. Michael Bishop was sick. He was sick at K-State. Do some research.
The only Bishop I recognize is Juice.
Oh, yeah. Not the one from X-Men? Come on now.
That one's okay.
What?
Yeah.
Bishop is a beast. Both Bishops. All Bishops. Bishop is a hell of a name, by the way. Underrated name. When I think of Bishop, I think tough. I was like, yeah.